96.90 WAPE plays the heavy.
Welcome back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 2011. Let's pick up where we left off. Entrepreneur Robert Todd Storrs was described in 1956 by Time magazine as the fastest rising figure in U.S. radio. As we know, his Mid-Continent Broadcasting Company and its daytime-only KOWH ruled Omaha's airwaves from 1950 through 1957. With controversial stunts and station promotions, listen-to-win contests and games, popular music, razzle-dazzle announcers, and sensational-sounding news broadcasts that offered listeners a weekly cash award for the best news tip. Following World War II service, Storrs took a 12-week NBC-sponsored course in radio at Northwestern University and worked at several radio stations as announcer, salesman, and copywriter. In 1947, he was employed at KBON, hosting its Swing Club program. In 1949, Todd and his father purchased KOWH from the Omaha World Herald. By 1951, KOWH had become the nation's top-rated independent radio station. Storrs originated the idea of Top 40 music programming with the purchase in 1953 of WTIX in New Orleans. And now an anecdotal story. The accepted tale is that Top 40 radio was born in a tavern in Omaha one evening in the early 50s, when Storrs and program director Bill Stewart noticed how often customers kept playing the same songs on the jukebox. They decided to clone a jukebox approach on KOWH. But other historians dispute that story. Richard Fatherly was a production director at Storrs' KXOK St. Louis in the mid-60s and program director at the chain's Kansas City Giant WHB through 1969. Storrs, he says, did invent Top 40, but he notes another broadcaster must be also credited with pioneering the format, Gordon McClendon, who did his thing in Texas. But even McClendon, Fatherly notes, has conceded that Storrs was first. Fatherly disputes the famous story about that evening in the bar. Instead, he says, the birth of Top 40 is traced to some 1950 University of Omaha research that indicated that listeners listed music as a major reason for using the radio. Storrs acquired that research and then, inspired by the work of WNEW New York, ditched all network programming from KOWH for music, and in line with the popular music focus of such shows as Your Hit Parade and Lucky Logger Dance Time, gave the top 10 songs heavy rotation. After acquiring WTIX in New Orleans, he heard about rival WDSU's Top 20 show, and he added 20 more titles, started an hour ahead of WDSU, and went on for an hour after the other show had ended, and thus he had created a Top 40 show. But what about that scene in the bar, a scene described numerous times by Bill Stewart and spread by other employees? The barroom story is a mythology, Fatherly says. Todd Storrs used what he observed of jukebox play and record sales to determine the frequency of record play. He didn't get the idea for Top 40 from those observations. Regardless of fact or anecdote, no one can take away from Todd Storrs the awesome work he did with KOWH Omaha and elsewhere, and his title of Father of Top 40 Radio. And it all began in Omaha. And so we close this month's visit and our State of the Stations in Omaha in the hopes that we can spend some time with some of you in just a couple of weeks at the NRC WTFDA gathering. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. And until we see you again, good listening, DXers.
Radio 54 KNOE flashes back another silver dollar souvenir.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by your radio. Record the stations in your market and send them to Phil. You, too, can show how your community sounds on the Market Scope.
There's a big oldies battle heating up in the Chicago radio market. About 3 months ago, the station at 100.3 switched to a format they call Rewind.
Rewind 100.3, it's Brian Peck. Well, Haley from Wheeling escaped, if you will, elimination last night on American Idol. Paul McDonald went home. So way to go, Haley, hanging in there another week. Rupert Holmes escaped on Rewind.
I was tired of my lady. We've been together too long.
If you have half a brain. Rewind 100.3, 948. It's Brian Peck. A little bit chilly, still 41 degrees, maybe a high of 50, 52. Windy and rainy is what I'm trying to say. Tomorrow, by the way, the race to Wrigley out in Wrigleyville. It's all for a great cause, Children's Memorial Hospital. That'll be fun. Maybe a little bit of rain in there, but still should be a fun time. So come on out and check that out. It is 949. We are Rewind 100.3.
Chicago's Rewind 100.3 presents What Year Was It?
The Lion King took in $42 million in its first weekend in theaters. The redesigned Wonder Bra went on sale. And the Chicago-based medical drama ER premiered.
Patient for you, Dr. Grant.
Can't the intern take it?
It's Dr. Ross.
Dr. Ross? I'll be right there.
Was it 1992, 1993, or 1994? The answer after this.
Hi, it's Megan Reed, host of the Class Reunion Lunch, weekdays at noon on Chicago's Rewind 100.3.
So, what year was it?
The Lion King took in $42 million in its first weekend in theaters. The redesigned Wonder Bra went on sale, and the Chicago-based medical drama ER premiered. It all happened in 1994.
Chicago's Rewind 100.3. Turn a friend on to the good stuff. Rewind 100.3.
It's 10 o'clock with Beth Reynolds for Megan Reed and another hour of fun up-tempo songs from the 80s and more.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales.
Feel good, baby. Chicago's Rewind 100.3.
Now on March 14th at 1:04 in the afternoon, the station we knew as Jack FM wasn't doing Jack. In fact, they had adopted a new format and picked up a couple of former DJs from WBBM-FM, namely Eddie and Jobo and Gary Spears.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the greatest city in the world.
My kind of town, Chicago.
WJMK-FM and HD1, Chicago's greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. This is the new 104.3.
Chicago.
It's the new 104.3K hits. Gary Spears waving goodbye to the press. He's getting ready to leave town. Last night in town for some fundraisers at MK Restaurant at 9. I think it was like $35,000 a plate. I just went for the French fries for 15 grand.
You're right.
I heat up. I can't cool down.
Your favorite music.
60s. 70s. 80s.
One hit after another.
Kind of music just soothes us all.
Chicago's greatest hits are playing right now on the new 104.3 K-Hits.
The new 104.3K hits Chicago's greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Less than 10 minutes away, free ticket Friday. Jackson Browne concert tickets coming up soon. Here's George Benson on K-Hits.
Blackbirds on the new 104.3K hits in Chicago. Eddie, look what time it is.
Blackbirds with a Y, right? Like Marlon Bird?
Yes.
Okay.
It's time for a free ticket Friday.
Oh, yes, it is.
You want to be a winner? Here's what you do. You call 312-729-1043. It'll be the 25th call right now. We're going to set you up for Jackson Browne tickets. That's 312-729-1043.
At the Venue Horseshoe Casino a week from tomorrow night.
Chicago's greatest hits all day.
The town where I was born.
Chicago's soundtrack for the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Welcome to the music.
All the good songs are here.
I got everything I like to listen to.
On the new 104.3 K Hits.
With all this going on, you may wonder about WLS-FM. Well, they're not taking a back seat to anybody. They've added a couple new personalities on the weekends, and Dick Biondi's still on in the evening, and Greg Brown, who's been in this market about 25 years, is still going strong in Afternoon Drive.
Seven is WLS, taking you into the weekend with The Who.
Blue Swede, and I'm Greg Brown on 94.7 WLS. If you're watching your Facebook news feed, you may see that you've won a $25 gift certificate just for being our friend on Facebook. It's what we do on Facebook Fridays. And if you have not yet friended us, you can find a link to our Facebook page at 94.7WLS.com.
You may wonder about our 103.9 in Dundee. Yeah, they're still playing oldies. They've got Tom Kent in the afternoon from 2 to 7, which apparently he is live at that time. They've got Jeff James in the morning. And Marcy, who you'll hear next, she plays oldies in the middle of the day. They're also carrying the Sunday afternoon NASCAR races as of mid-April.
The Big Sammy's Interactive Oldies Cafe. Make your request now.
Call 888-45-Y1039.
Y103.9 Kansas, wrapping up our Big Sammy's Interactive Oldies Cafe soon, but not quite yet. If you're having trouble deciding what song you want to request, how about ask the expert? They've got all the answers. Well, two other questions, too. Anything you want to take to them, they're going to help you out for free. Valley Plastic Surgery Center, the Homestead and Dossal Jewelers. It's all at Y103.9.com.
Y103.9 is giving you the chance to laugh your ass off. Hey, what's with the bleep? I said tax, not I guess I just said there, but, well, anyway, tax day is coming up, and we want you to laugh all the way there. Be dialed in to Y103.9 during your weekday for your chance to win tickets to Zany's Comedy Club. Plus, you'll be qualified to win a night out at Zany's with your favorite Y DJs, along with a limo ride and dinner paid for by Y's Monster Tax Refund. Laugh your tax off. See, I said tax again.
Brought to you by McDonald's.
3.9, a quick check of your forecast brought to you by the Vein Clinics of America. Partly sunny today, but really mostly crappy. And a high 53, we've got rain showers planned for you all day tomorrow. High 47, and Sunday, finally, things looking a little bit better with partly sunny skies and a high 57. Right now, go ahead, turn it up. It is Friday, it's your lunch hour, and it's rammed in. Black Betty, back to 1977, Y103.9.
As good a situation as this is for oldies fans, I don't think it will last. Bonneville has sold 100 and a couple other stations to Hubbard Broadcasting, and sometime around August and September, Cumulus is expected to buy WLS-FM, and there's been all kinds of rumors and speculation about what they might do. So, stay tuned. And this is Mark Marino reporting for the DX Audio Service.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Hello, this is Victor Schmidt from Silver Spring, Maryland, speaking to you from the Schmidt House, and I want to make a little bit of a comment about these low-powered FM stations. I have now lost the ability to DX on 105.5. WAMU is now broadcasting WAMU HD2, mostly bluegrass music, from their translator site in Reston, Virginia. I don't know how far that is from the DXer who reports from Richmond, Virginia, but another station that is difficult to DX now is 97.5 WWMX Baltimore HD2, claiming to be HFS radio. The old WHFS is broadcasting on this frequency. I can only pick them up on my Sea Crane radio using my outdoor antenna. AM and on FM, WMAL can now be heard on 105.9.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri. If you are a fan of Dick Summer, you'll be interested to know that he was interviewed on a program called Books and Beyond with Bonnie Blows. And the Fillmore box number for that is 773-572-3166. And if the Dick Summer interview isn't on the menu when you go to check that out, then you can find the interview online. And this is kind of a long URL, but here we go. www.accessibleworld.org/category/site-categories/books-and-beyond-archives. And Dick Summer has his own website at dicksummer.com, and summer is spelled just like the season.
Hello, everyone. It's September 18th, and I'm Joe Schwab in Richmond, Virginia, with a couple of items. I've noticed since the hurricane, I can get WLEE on 990 at night for some reason. Formerly, I couldn't do that, so I'm wondering if they're just forgetting their power cut or what's going on. Also, according to the morning announcer, WRVA has been painting their tower and has had to operate with 12,000 watts non-directional. And during the hurricane, they increased back up to 50. I don't know what their pattern is. I assume it's east and west, since Miami's to the south and Nova Scotia, Canada's to the north. I called RVA and didn't get a return call from them, but I'll check around some more. And if I find out anything for sure, I'll let you know in the next issue. In the meantime, if anybody notices where they can get RVA particularly well or particularly poor, I appreciate some feedback on that on the musings line. Also, another question I had was, I was wondering who does the announcing since 1985. This is the DX Audio Service. Who does that? And could you tell me about stations using voiceovers and liners? Who decides who's going to do that? How does that work? Anyway, that's all for now from Richmond, 73s, and great DX, everyone.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Jason Smith just resigned from doing all that on ESPN Radio, and he's going to the NFL Network. So that's a nice promotion for him. He's been with ESPN 6 years, and he had 2 more years left on his contract, and they were nice enough to let him out of it so he could take this advancement. I've been picking up still WWCR between 1,000 and 1010 on the AM band early in the morning, and quite clearly, too, that's WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, which is now based out of Nashville, Tennessee. It used to be out of Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth. They are a shortwave station, technically. A couple of Saturdays ago, I was sitting out in the morning waiting to be picked up, had my portable radio out, and 99.9 The Fox in Sarnia came in, Sarnia, Ontario, which was quite a catch because that's 125 miles from here. I'm only 66 miles from Toronto, and they have a station on 99.9 also. Vince Scully is going to broadcast the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball games yet another year, next year. That's been agreed to a couple of weeks ago. And CFAC 960, a 50,000-watt radio station in Calgary, Alberta, has recently been picked up by some DX in Illinois and Pennsylvania, and I think that's pretty remarkable considering the distance. Next time I talk to you people, I think we'll be in Omaha next month, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hi there, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. We have a format change. 1400 WFLL, formerly WFTL, has dropped their Country Legends format. It did not work. In fact, they had one disc jockey, then he left, and it was all voice track. Well, WFLL has become Portuguese radio. They have leased it out to the Brazilian people, and they've gone Portuguese programming. What's next? Stay tuned.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And to answer Joe Schwab's question, who's the guy that says,
since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service.
Well, that's none other than our good friend, Mr. Doc Morgan from Dallas, Texas. Doc's a voiceover guy that does a lot of neat stuff on radio. Here's just a sample.
Big Country, 99.5. You're in the middle of a 1,000-song weekend on Tulsa's only classic country station. Big Country, 99.5. You've made the right choice. 1050 ESPN Radio is your station. Your station, because we always talk about what you're interested in. We never bore you with the blah, blah, blah days of yesteryear. Blah, blah, blah. The thirst for knowledge is quenched here. News Radio AM 640 WTLK. Don't miss a thing. You have an iPod, a mortgage, and drink high zest coffee. Your team of Mike and Mike, Colin, Stephen A., Dan and Keith, and Michael K. are guaranteed to give you more opinion, insight, and make you laugh. You're the reason that 1050 ESPN Radio is the sports talk of New York.
He even does the news open for the TV station I work at in Lima.
You're watching West Central Ohio's award-winning leader. This is your news now. At 6.
And a certain radio station that sometimes shows up at conventions.
Owing our existence to the miracle of the dual line Comrex.
Hello?
This is Convention Radio. WNRC. America's most unconventional radio station.
Get the hell out of here!
WNRC. WNRC. What's that blinking in the distance? Tower lights? Or the cops? WNRC. We're here because you are. WNRC.
A true talent in broadcasting. Doc Morgan from Dallas, Texas. Now let's have some news and notes.
From Dallas, Texas, this is Wally Warrow for the DX Audio Service. And our story is called WCFL Flashback, The Man Who Rocked Chicago Radio. It was posted in the Chicago Media blog by Robert Fetter on September 12th.
2011.
For most of us who grew up in Chicago in the 1960s, the choice was simple. You could listen to WLS, or you could listen to WCFL. Although WLS had a six-year head start as a top 40 station and continued the format well into the 1980s, for a brief but magical era, it faced a rival of unprecedented creative energy, excitement, and imagination, WCFL. From talent to production to promotion to news, everything came together for the long-neglected Chicago Federation of Labor radio flagship, thanks to the singular vision of one man, Ken Draper, the programming genius from Cleveland who seemed to capture the spirit of the time and the mood of the city perfectly. I wanted a radio station. When you heard it, you could not take it anywhere else. It was Chicago, Draper said, in a recent interview with Jim Hampton of Radio Recall. Hampton, a one-time production manager at WLS, who now runs Greenhouse Marketing Group in Los Angeles, has edited the interview with extensive archival audio into a wonderful one-hour program called The Ken Draper WCFL Story. Included are the voices of such legendary personalities as Jim Runyon, Joel Sebastian, Dick Williamson, Jim Stagg, Ron Britton, Barney Pipp, Dick Biondi, and Larry Lujak, along with Dick Orkin's immortal Chicken Man, and those great WCFL song-like jingles created by Chuck Bloor. When I went to CFL, there were no impediments, Draper told Hampton. No one telling me how many people I could hire. They didn't say if we had disc jockeys that went from 6 in the morning to noon we could save. Nobody doing that kind of thing to me. Or if I wanted to put Chicken Man on the air, I didn't have to go to someone for approval. I believe that Chicago was a platform for things that had been inside of me for 8 years in terms of ideas and the way I envisioned a really great radio station. By the time Draper arrived in 1965 to convert the voice of labor to Top 40, Chicago radio was dominated by the rivalry between AM giants WGN and WIND, personified by the battle between morning stars Wally Phillips and Howard Miller. While WLS was alone in the rock arena, Draper figured he'd be happy to just split the audience with WLS. If you went in and said, okay, what categories of radio in this market, what is the least competitive? The answer is rock and roll, he said. The only station doing it was WLS, but playing pop music, for want of a better word, or personality radio, it would have been a natural thing for me to do. Draper succeeded spectacularly, transforming WCFL into a powerhouse still remembered as one of Chicago's all-time greats. In the process, he moved up from program director to general manager before he left in 1968. Today, Draper lives in Los Angeles, where he is owner and publisher of City Watch, a multimedia website and newsletter of opinion, news, and information. You can find Robert Fetter's work on the Time Out Chicago blog, which is timeoutchicago.com, and you'll find that he covers media in that city. He has for a number of years for various sources, particularly the Chicago Sun-Times. You will find this article on his blog, and you'll find a link to the Ken Draper special, which will download as an MP3, and it takes about an hour to listen to. It is well worth your time if you want to hear what a really neat radio station sounded like. I was 15 or 16 years old when this battle took place in the mid-1960s, and it was really hard to choose who you wanted to listen to, WCFL or WLS. Both were great radio stations, and I'm glad I got to grow up listening to them. From Dallas, Wally Warrow for the DX Audio Service.
Museum will honor the Cincinnati Liars by Ken Reiser, president of the board of directors for the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. The Voice of America Bethany station was built in 1944 on a wartime basis under the direction of broadcasting pioneer Powell Crosley. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, President Franklin D. Roosevelt was determined to broadcast radio messages overseas. Powell Crosley committed his innovative team of engineers in Cincinnati to building transmitters and antenna systems capable of this. A 640-acre site was selected north of Cincinnati in the rural community of Westchester and not far from the Crosley powerful WLW transmitter. Here, engineers set about building something that had never been built before. Intricate antenna systems would soon be scattered throughout the property, and an impressive Art Deco structure resembling a World War II airfield control tower was built to accommodate six new 200-kilowatt transmitters. The transmitters were designed and built by Crosley engineers, with every component custom-made, and they would remain in service to the U.S. government for the next 50 years. The technology was top secret and perplexed Hitler and others as America's voice continued to permeate Europe and South America. Frustrated by his inability to block this powerful voice, Hitler referred to the facility as those Cincinnati Liars. The structure itself, while built during the shortages of war, was designed to highlight and pay tribute to the powerful technology held within its walls. The Art Deco building is made of glazed block with a four-story tower that, during time of national crisis, held armed guards. The bulk of the building was referred to as the Great Concourse, an open space with a 25-foot ceiling, curved balcony, and six transmitters on two podiums. This impressive space in the 1940s would have been a vision of technology and progress. Powell Crosley referred to this concourse as the Temple of Radio. While the structure of the building is significant in an architectural sense, it's the story of the Voice of America Bethany Station that speaks to our nation's history. This building represents American ideals in so many ways. In service of their country, a group of innovators united to create technology that had only been imagined. They made it possible for the unique American message of freedom and democracy to be shared with people oppressed by tyrannical leaders, yearning for the truth. For the next 50 years, these engineers used their imaginations and their skills to make sure America's message was always heard, defeating jamming efforts and overcoming technological challenges. In times of war and in times of peace, the Voice of America Bethany Station delivered the news and culture of America, including the music of Louis Armstrong and others, to victims of war, the oppressed, the curious, and servicemen and women serving their country around the globe. With the advent of newer satellite-based technology, ground stations like VOA's Bethany were no longer needed, and the facility was decommissioned in 1995. Shortly afterward, dozens of radio towers and curtain antennas were taken down at the Westchester location, and the facility and about 500 of the surrounding acres were turned over to Westchester Township and Butler County Metro Parks for public use. The VOA Bethany station and its surrounding 20 acres were given to Westchester Township for historic monument purposes. Over the next several years, interested citizens worked to convert the Bethany station into a museum. Most notable among them was the local VFW post and the Westchester Amateur Radio Association. As the museum took shape, it was evident that the space was larger than needed for just the VOA Museum and Westchester Amateur Radio Association, which was operating an amateur radio station out of the building. At the same time, two local museums were looking for new homes. They were the Gray History of Wireless Museum and Media Heritage. Both were excellent fits for the VOA Museum. The Gray History of Wireless Museum boasts one of the largest collections of antique radio equipment in the country and was assembled by Jack Gray, a former VOA Bethany station engineer. Media Heritage is dedicated to the preservation, restoration, and maintenance of historic broadcast recordings, photographed scripts, films, printed text, oral histories, and other media related to the history of radio and television in the greater Cincinnati area, as well as the Midwest and the nation. Both of these museums are now housed in the Bethany Station building. In order to facilitate three museums and an operating radio station, WC8VOA, occupying one building, Westchester Township formed an independent board. Its mission is to develop and operate the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. To determine the best way to merge these entities into a cohesive experience, the board commissioned Jack Rouse Associates to develop a concept master plan. Meanwhile, Westchester Township, with a grant from the state of Ohio, has spent $1.5 million restoring the building to its original 1944 exterior facade. This restoration was completed in 2011, and they are planning additional major repairs to the building for 2012. The National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting Board has accepted the Rouse Master Plan. The plan can be viewed on the museum's website. The fundraising campaign to complete the detailed engineering and construction has begun. The goal is to raise $12 million to convert the Bethany Station into a museum that will preserve the rich history of VOA, wireless radio, and Cincinnati broadcast history. Please visit the website www.voamuseum.org. For more information on the affiliated organizations. If you're interested in contributing, please click on www.givevoa.org. That website links to the Westchester Liberty Community Foundation, which is collecting the donations.
Freedom Radio, AFN Iraq, all aboard, it's the
AFN Iraq signs off with final broadcast. On Friday night, the stuttering Porky Pig, that's all, folks, spoke the last words broadcast on American Forces Network Iraq. Since World War II, voices of AFN disc jockeys have been heard over the airwaves by deployed troops, a sure sign of sustained American presence. The same held true for Iraq, where AFN started broadcasting from Baghdad in December of 2003. Freedom, a song written and recorded by Paul McCartney in response to the 9/11 terror attacks, was the first song played on AFN Iraq. Freedom Radio became the moniker of the station's programming. Friday marked the latest footnote in the AFN wartime history as Toby Keith's Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue became the final song to be broadcast from AFN Iraq studio. While the song played, the AFN Iraq crew, made up primarily of reserve soldiers from the Texas-based 206 Broadcast Operation Detachment, huddled like a football team, relishing what AFN Iraq DJ Sergeant Adam Prickle described as an emotional and historical moment. The choice of song may have pleased some in the Iraqi audience as well. DJ Staff Sergeant Jay Townsend said many AFN listeners were students at the University of Baghdad, near AFN's Iraq home studio at Forward Operating Base Prosperity. The university students sent in requests day after day. A lot of them liked country music, old school country, Townsend said. As troops and more than 2 million pieces of equipment continue to be shipped out of Iraq, it's no surprise to the AFN Iraq staff that song requests from troops have been on the downside.
What did surprise them was the number of requests pouring in from local Iraqi population. AFN Iraq's Facebook page is full of pleas from Iraqi listeners begging them not to leave. I don't know if anybody in Vietnam wrote anything like that to the American troops, Townsend said. AFN Iraq's commander, Lieutenant Colonel Freddie Mack, said that some museums have been in touch in hopes of acquiring some of the station's memorabilia. I'm humbled and honored to be a part of it. Mack, who is heading to the Pentagon for his next assignment, said of his station's final broadcast. The thousands of troops and contractors still stationed in Iraq will continue to get their fill of AFN. A signal will be broadcast from AFN Europe studios in Germany. I get to be a part of the last crew. It's the most fulfilling part of my service, said AFN Iraq's top enlisted broadcaster, Sergeant First Class Don Dees.
Freedom Radio, AFN Iraq. That's Martina McBride with Teenage Daughters. You're listening to Morning PT. I'm Prickle. It is 6:14 on the clock. For everyone that's just now tuning in to Morning PT, sources are saying all over, CNN.
And that story is AFN Iraq signs off with final broadcast, written by Mark Patton, used with permission from Stars and Stripes. Copyright 2011 Stars and Stripes.
An early morning fire on Friday, September 2nd, destroyed the downtown Hutchinson, Kansas studios of radio stations KSKU, Country 106, CHR KSKU 106.9, Oldies 95.9 KWHK, and Classic Rock 100.3 KZNS, and caused damage to adjacent buildings of the radio stations located at 106 North Main Street. A music store and soda fountain inside a drugstore were closed, but other businesses in the 100 block of North Main would be opening Friday, despite the inconvenience of the block being closed to traffic and parking. Hutchinson Fire Department Inspector Loyal Peavyhouse said they were awaiting heavy equipment that would be used to tear the building down. Peavyhouse said the fire was reported about 2:30 a.m. The first unit immediately called for other units to assist. Firefighters began attacking the fire through the front and rear door until they noticed that the roof, which was supported by steel beams, was starting to come down. Then they had to back out and go to a defensive fire, he said. They put up the aerial and started squirting water on the roof and spraying hoses through the front and back doors. The last employee of the stations had gone home between 10 and 11 p.m. Thursday, September 1st, and the stations were playing automated programming until the fire knocked them off the air. Cliff Shank, owner of the radio station, said he had been told that firefighters found the back door broken open and that the fire might be arson. However, PV House said the fire wasn't being classified as arson at this point and was simply under investigation. The back door, he said, was burned away, although the frame and hinges were intact and would be examined to determine if the door had been open. Shank said firefighters had been able to pull some of the computers that held the station's music and commercial library out of the fire, but he didn't know yet whether they had been damaged by the heat. Shank said his business was well insured and that he plans to rebuild on the site. In the meantime, he said he is looking into the possibility to set up a temporary studio in the adjacent Wiley building, but it would be a couple of weeks and possibly a month before the four stations get back on the air. The stations broadcast from four towers scattered around Reno County, but that the Main Street studio is the hub for all four and what went out on the air. The company that owns all four stations is Ad Astra Per Aspera Broadcasting, which pays tribute to the state motto of "To the Stars Through Difficulty." And we have some difficulty right now, Shank said. The Kansas Association of Broadcasters is coordinating efforts to help the cluster get back on its feet. Mark Erdman for the DX Audio Service.
Generators credited for keeping radio signals pumping. Technical station personnel along the East Coast are still cleaning up transmitter sites and studios in the wake of Hurricane Irene. The FCC believes about 10 radio stations had still remained off the air as of the end of August. That number could have been much worse without stations having access to well-maintained generators positioned before the storm. So says Clear Channel Radio Senior Vice President of Engineering and Capital Management, Steve Davis. Simply buying a generator isn't enough, he emphasized. Our generators came up and worked as intended. That hasn't always been the case. This result is huge and is only possible when the local engineers maintain them, test them, and make sure they're topped off with fuel.
Clear Channel conducted a hurricane prep conference call before Irene's landfall to reinforce the generator maintenance message. But that only goes so far, it wouldn't have undone long-term neglect, says Davis. Clear Channel Radio has lots of stations running on generators post-Irene, and two off the air as of the end of August, according to Davis. WRWD in Ellenville and in Poughkeepsie, WKIP had been off the air because of flooding. There was 3 feet of water in the transmitter building. One of the antenna tuning units was completely covered with water, said Davis, who said the auxiliary transmitter was damaged as well, along with a new 10,000-watt FM transmitter for another station. In New Haven, Connecticut, the WAVZ transmitter site flooded, and the station was operating on night power. Davis says Clear Channel was able to return several stations to commercial power shortly thereafter, including WSUS Sussex, New Jersey, WELI 960 Studios and Transmitter Site in New Haven, and its Nassau, New York operations. Albany, New York stations back on commercial power included WGY, WOFX, and FM stations WPYX, WRVE, and WTRY. He also adds that WWTX in Wilmington, Delaware was close to running out of fuel, so Clear Channel moved one of its DARP generators there. That type of generator needs less fuel to operate. Elsewhere, WNYC 820 in New York had remained off the air because of flooding in New Jersey. Greater media stations in New Jersey took a real hard hit, with most transmitters and studio sites on generators for extended periods, according to Greater Media VP Radio Engineering Milford Smith. He says the main site for WCTC New Brunswick was inundated by the Raritan River, which was more than 20 feet above flood stage, about equivalent to what Smith said he saw with Floyd in 1999. The main site went down about 8:30 that evening when the ATU, which is close to 20 feet above ground, went underwater. Greater Media had an alternate antenna transmitter site that took over WCTC transmissions until Monday as water receded. There was about 2 feet of water in the transmitter building with some damage to the WCTC tower, its transmitter building, catwalk, and the floor. Greater Media stations in Boston and Philadelphia had various transmitter and studio locations on generator during the storm with no lost airtime. Entercom reported issues at stations in Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Boston, and Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, according to corporate engineer John Price. Hearst-owned WBAL 1090 in Baltimore was back on after being forced off the air for about 5 hours due to storm-related problems at its transmitter.
The following is from Wayne Heinen, chairman of the board of the National Radio Club. I wanted to share this year's AM Radio Log dedication and the response I received with the membership. The dedication. Over the years, we have dedicated each edition of the AM Radio Log to a club member, log contributor, or fellow traveler who has served our radio hobby. This year, the 32nd edition of the AM Radio Log is dedicated to the memory of my counterpart in the world of FM monitoring, Bruce F. Elving, editor and publisher of the FM Atlas. Bruce passed away this past July. Bruce was dedicated to the FM DXing hobby and championed it through the FM Atlas, his writings, and enthusiastic participation. He will be missed by all. Wayne Heinen, August 23, 2011. From a handwritten thank you card received on August the 16th from Carol Elving, Dear Wayne, I got your package yesterday and I want to thank you so very much for the dedication to Bruce. It would have meant so much to him to know how many people out there looked up to him and admired his work. He was one of a kind. Thanks again for your thoughtfulness. Sincerely, Carol.
KDWB 630.
That's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 2011. Now, before you turn off that tape machine, listen up. This is very important. I kind of got behind with some personal things, the death of my father-in-law, as well as some business stuff at the TV station, and I've been spending a lot of time out of state working in Illinois at one of our other stations, so I wasn't able to mail out the survey when I really needed to, which is I was hoping to give you guys 60 days in order to mull over the survey, but it's just being mailed out now, which is October the 1st, and it's due back here at the end of the month. So when you get the survey, please sit down with somebody who's cited, have them read the questions to you, and then fill it out. The survey is very simple. Basically, I ask a question, and then you're given on a scale of 1 to 5 whether you agree or whether you disagree with the statement, such as, I like listening to radio. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? And if you're kind of neutral, you give it a 3. So it's a very easy survey to fill out. Takes about 5 minutes to do. Please pop it in the mail and send it back to us as soon as possible. The survey is going to help us guide the National Radio Club over the next decade and figure out what you, the membership, want, as well as what kind of things you like to do. So it's very important that we hear from each and every one of you. Well, again, that's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days. As soon as this tape is published, I'm off to Decatur, Illinois, so I'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.
Thanks for tuning our way while you're going your way. Always drive with care and Radio 54.